Hey, Lainey, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, welcome.
Did you
Hi.
call her? Did you call her Lainey Forrest?
I didn't mean to. I might have.
Oh, maybe you
That's
didn't. I thought you just gave her a new nickname.
oh.
I thought
That's
it
all
was
right.
cute.
My grandma called me
Aw.
Oh.
Lainey.
I'm empathic.
I think I'm gonna call you Lainey for the duration of the
Okay.
call.
Okay.
Thank you for waiting patiently.
Of course. I've been like I haven't been able to stop moving, but it's okay.
What has been going on with you as you've been listening? Have you been like taking some of the stuff in, or have you been so focused on like, oh, what am I going to talk about? Is there going to be time for me that has it been harder for you?
Pretty much worrying about what I was going to say, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay.
I've listened a little bit, not super in depth. Like, I want to go back in. I took some notes, but I want to go back in and listen to it a second time.
Okay. Well, where are you at right now? Just kind of like, how you feeling? What do you feel like is something that just in the context of what we're talking about or where you're at right now that is something that is you feel like is important for you to address?
Well, I kind of feel like the first caller could have been me, to be honest. Like, I mean, give him a girl voice and it could have been me, you know? I felt like I had a lot of stuff in common with him. So,
Just in
I don't
terms
know.
of just in terms of how you feel on like a daily basis or your upbringing.
My like experiences on a daily basis.
Okay. What are your experiences on a daily basis?
The like watching himself from a third person perspective, that resonated really, really deeply. I'm constantly thinking about how other people are seeing me. I'm super concerned with my looks. Like, I do my makeup and my hair every day, you know. Also, like, I'm just constantly aware of how I'm appearing to other people.
How about right now?
Well, no, 'cause I'm alone.
Well, I know that, but there's people on the line.
Oh, yeah, I worry about my biggest worry is sounding intelligent or, you know, seeming competent.
So it really sounds like there's a huge emphasis on either your accomplishments or how other people see you.
Oh, yeah.
But there
I've
doesn't
always
seem to be.
been, yeah, I'm sorry.
Go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I've always been like the smart one or the pretty one, you know, like my mom is always showing us off. It's almost like making us, you know, responsible, like taking responsibility or taking like ownership of our own accomplishments. So like, this is my daughter and she has her master's and you know what I mean? Like, look at how beautiful she is. And so I think that that kind of made me hyper aware of how other people are seeing me.
Yeah, so there was more of an emphasis on what you brought to the table than you like as an individual.
Yeah.
And so other people's opinions of you have become really important, and it seems like your own opinion of yourself hasn't really come to matter that much.
Totally, yeah.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're very aware of what's going on a logical level.
Oh, yeah, intellectually, I understand quite a bit. Absolutely.
So what's the problem?
I guess my timeless right brain doesn't get it. You
Yeah.
know?
So you understand that, well, what are your symptoms? We talked earlier in the week, and I remember you telling me that you had fatigue. And there was like a history of anxiety. Is there anything else?
I've had IBS since I was like 16.
Okay.
So that was the first symptom for sure.
So you've had IBS, and currently you have fatigue.
Yeah, pretty severe fatigue. Well, not severe. I don't know. It's not that bad, but I have some fatigue, insomnia, which obviously can kind of tie in with the fatigue, I'm sure. Go ahead.
What do you feel like your self-esteem is? Or how do you feel like your self-esteem is?
It's frail. I feel sometimes if I'm doing everything right, if I'm, you know, doing well in things that I care about, mm-hmm. then I feel pretty good. But the moment
that's not self-esteem. That's, again, just judging yourself based on your accomplishments.
Okay.
Self-esteem is really just about how you feel about your own self, independent of, you know, like what you see when you look in the mirror, independent of, you know, your GPA or how great of a job you just did, but just the idea, the concept of feeling okay about yourself just for being you, feeling a sense of self-worth or feeling a sense of self-love.
I don't really feel like I exist outside of those things.
Wow. Well, I'm not surprised you have symptoms. It almost seems like, you know, we all have this part of us that yearns to just feel okay the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't feel okay the way we are, we have a tendency to try to compensate for that by doing well. You know, I think Kobe Bryant is a great example. Or Michael Jordan. You know, if I remember reading Michael Jordan's biography, and it's like he got a 94% on his test, and his mom was like, "Where are the other 6 points?" So
right.
What happens? Inherently, he feels not good enough the way he is, and
right.
he becomes absolutely obsessed, possessed when it comes to winning. He needs to win because it's the only thing that could give him that sense of worth. You know, to the point where actually when he plays other sports like golf or pool, he actually cheats. He needs to win that badly because it's
yeah.
the only thing that can make him feel okay about himself.
For sure.
So
I can relate.
You can relate.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound to you when you actually hear that, like, described objectively? I mean, does it sound like positive? Does it sound like something that you're, you know, drawn to? Does it sound repugnant?
No, it sounds like something I'm drawn to.
It does. Okay.
Like,
so
yeah.
This is actually something that I have come across a lot. It's that, like, for you, external validation is like a drug.
Absolutely.
You love it. You want to go in situations where, you know, like, guys are going to find you attractive or you're going to be able to achieve or accomplish something because that's what makes you feel good about yourself.
Right.
So what message do you think?
I hate admitting that, but yeah.
No, I think that shows a lot of insight. I mean, sometimes I'll have to work with someone for a couple of months just to help them see that. So I think that's great. Well, what do you think that subcommunicates to yourself?
Just that my view of myself doesn't matter as much as anyone else's.
Yeah. And that there isn't a lot of self. It's almost like, you, to some degree, you have like you know, an addiction, like a heroin addiction or something. It feels really good in the moment, but it fades and fast, and then you need it again.
Yeah.
Well, is it worth it?
Well, from where I stand now, right this very second, yes.
Why?
Because it feels so good in that moment.
Your body's rebelling, though.
It totally is.
Your body is rebelling. It doesn't like feeling totally devoid of any self-love and needing to, like, fill up like a gas station.
Yeah.
If you can flip a switch and all of a sudden get that feeling of self-love and not need this external validation as much, would you?
Absolutely.
You would?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't like having to rely on outside sources for my sense of worth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would just be nice to be able to feel that myself rather than relying on unstable sources outside, you know? Like.
Okay. I mean, I hear you. Do you believe what you're saying right now?
I don't know, dude. like
it
I said, intellectually,
like
I get it, but right?
Yes.
I want to get it. Like, I want to feel that I want to, but
you're going to have a lot of opportunities this week. This is almost like it's like you're in the matrix right now. You know, you feel like right now your standard for feeling good is coming from external things. And for you, it's like getting some sort of feedback that is wonderful was everything, and you know, you're going to gravitate toward that. Whereas in reality, that's soul destroying. I mean, we live in a culture that emphasizes, you know, external validation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a capitalistic society. Even at college graduation speeches, you know, they all center on, it doesn't matter where you came from, you can always be successful. You don't ever hear any, you know, college graduation speeches where they say it doesn't matter whether or not you're successful, you have the capacity for happiness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're caught in this zone right now. You are caught in this world where the message is you need external validation and what you think of yourself doesn't matter.
Right.
And so this is actually going to require a real conscious, disciplined shift in you. So I had a lot of symptoms at one time. And I loved external validation myself, you know, like getting good grades, you know, having good jobs. I mean, it's so intoxicating.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, I just realized, you know what, it's like you're living your life always waiting for the next fix and never really truly feeling safe. Because you know as soon as it goes away, you're going to feel empty again.
Yeah.
And it actually requires reaching a certain point where you just say to yourself, fuck it, I'm done. I'm done living like that. And making an active choice to see that validation there and actually choose health over that, you know, that drug.
I'm experiencing some fear.
What's the fear right now?
I've just never done any differently.
I know. It will be a huge loss. You will go through a period of grief because right now your identity is so tied up in this system of external rewards. And it actually, I mean, talking about the Matrix, it's just like what Keanu Reeves went through when he found out that the world he thought he was living in actually wasn't the real world.
Right. I don't know that I know how to do it.
All right, give me an example of something this week that has the capacity to give you external validation.
Well, I think I get it all day, every day at work because I'm a server.
Uh-huh.
And so if I'm charismatic or dressed a certain way because I work at like a hip place, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm just constantly being told how pretty I am and how much people love my eyes. And, you know, so I get it all day.
So what's this voice in your head tell you when you do get it?
That I matter, that I'm being seen.
Okay. It's like, good job.
Yeah.
It's like, sweet.
Yeah.
That's like the moment of truth. That is where you have the opportunity to either indulge in it and sink deeper or take a stand.
Okay.
And what do you mean, okay?
I guess I just don't really know what that means, take a stand. I mean, like, just
how do,
don't.
How do you feel about the fact that there's this part of your mind, this mom in your mind, based on what you told me, who is telling you that you're only okay if, you know, this other person says you're okay. You're only good if this other person says you're good. You're only worthy if this other person makes you feel worthy. You have any feelings about that? You don't have to. I don't want you to tell me you have feelings about it if you don't.
Like a little twinge of sadness, but nothing intense.
What's the sadness about?
I almost feel ashamed. Yeah, I feel ashamed of it.
That's like, not sadness. That's more self-abuse.
Okay.
How do you feel about that little girl who got this message from her mom over and over that, you know, she was worth something because she did something well?
I don't know, I guess I kind of feel like that was how she showed her love for me, you know, like she didn't know how.
No, I didn't ask you to, you know, explain why she did that. I'm asking, how did it feel when you think about that little girl being given that message to the point where she actually has symptoms today because of it? To the point where it's hard for her to, you know, exist in a state of joy or happiness outside of getting this positive feedback or external validation.
Yeah, I'm just pretty sad.
Are you?
Yeah.
What do you wish that girl would have been told?
I don't even know. I don't know what would be appropriate, you know?
Mm-hmm. What if she were told, you know, you're okay. If you get a master's degree, if you have very pretty eyes, if you do really well in this tournament, that's great, but if you don't, you're okay too. That you're loved just for being you. That you're loved just for being my daughter. That I love you just because you're human, just because you're you. Not because of all these things that you're good at or great at. How would it feel to hear something like that?
Different.
Is there a feeling that you feel right now? An emotion?
Sort of uplifting. I don't know what emotion that would be.
Is there any sadness that you feel? I wasn't sure if I was hearing sadness in your voice.
The sadness in my voice is just kind of carrying over from before. But as far as hearing what you suggested, like that, it feels different but right on a certain level, you know what I mean?
It does.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what all kids are supposed to hear. But most of them aren't.
Okay.
You know, like what that little girl wanted was just to feel okay the way she was. Just to feel good enough the way she was, just to feel loved just for being her. But somewhere along the line, there were these distorted messages that you get a feeling of praise when you bring home a good test. And you see your mom's eyes light up when her friends tell her how pretty her daughter is.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you get the message, this is what I want, this is what I'm yearning for. I'm yearning for that love. And so I'm going to do great things to get that love. And now it's the same thing with your own self. I'm going to do great things. I'm going to be great in order to get that feeling of love.
Yeah.
Is there an emotion you have right now when we're talking about this, or is it purely just left-brained?
It's feeling pretty flat. Like pretty.
It's feeling flat, like it's an intellectual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This right here is your challenge. Like one of the things that I've found is oftentimes needing to actually connect with the emotion associated with the fact that you're doing this is a really important component in changing it. If you feel sadness for that part of you that doesn't feel good enough, if you feel anger toward, you know, the mom or dad in your head that tells you you're not good enough the way you are, that's where the motivation to actually change that behavior comes from. But when it's just an intellectual exercise, then the interventions don't really carry that much weight. I think you have the capacity, you have the potential to feel feelings about this. I just think that, you know, you're not right now.
Yeah. I have a really hard time opening up, period, but opening up to someone I've never spoken to before. Well, I mean, once, but that's even harder.
Yeah. So there's like a vulnerability thing.
Absolutely.
Do you find it hard to make yourself vulnerable right now as we're talking about this?
Yeah, kind of. And then it's frustrating, and I get mad about it because I feel like this is a really cool opportunity.
Whoa. I mean, it makes sense to me that you would have a hard time making yourself vulnerable right now. You know, even the way that you just treated yourself, it was like you're having a hard time making yourself vulnerable because there's other people listening on the call, because you've never talked to me before. And so you have this reaction. I have a hard time making myself vulnerable. Look at the way you respond to that. It's like you beat yourself up because of that. You say, what's wrong with you? You're wasting an opportunity. Instead of, you know, being understanding and forgiving the fact that your guard is up right now.
I don't want it to be.
I know, but it is. That's okay. Listen, it's Lane, it's about the way that you treat yourself. What we're talking about really when it comes down to it is unconditional love. Having a stance toward yourself of unconditional love. I don't think you got that growing up. Feeling loved unconditionally just for being you. So right now in the moment, and I'm really glad you brought that up because I think it's important, it's hard for you to make yourself vulnerable right now. So look at the way you come at yourself. You say, what's wrong with you? This is an opportunity. You're wasting it. You know, you're okay if you can put your guard down. You're not if you don't. That isn't nice. That's not treating yourself with unconditional love. Taking a stance of, hey, listen, it makes sense that it would be hard for you to put your guard down right now, given the circumstances. And that's okay. And you're okay. Do you hear the difference in those two takes?
Yeah.
Does it sound like it would be nice if you were treated like that throughout the day? Knowing that...
I feel like I wouldn't ever get anything done.
What do you mean?
Well, I kind of feel like cracking the whip is how you get stuff done, you know?
On your own self?
Yeah.
Do you know what else it leads to? Fatigue.
Right.
You know, I've worked with a lot of people who have a fear that if they didn't put this incessant pressure on themselves, they wouldn't get anything done. But usually what they find is that pressure, more than anything, is a motivation killer, and that ambition free from this tyrant dictator-like pressure is actually a lot freer and more joyful. You have a hard time making yourself vulnerable right now because you've never talked to me on the phone before. There's maybe other people listening to what you're saying. And that's okay. That's fine. You're still okay. I wouldn't even say it's a mistake that needs to be forgiven. It's just a natural reaction to being in a new situation. And I imagine that if that's the stance you took toward yourself, one of acceptance, one of forgiveness, one of love, you wouldn't need these symptoms. You wouldn't feel so tired all the time. You wouldn't feel anxious because you'd be okay. It sounds tiring being that hard on yourself all the time.
Yeah.
It sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're getting a lot of love from your own self.
I've been trying. I've been working on it. But I'm not exactly where I want to be yet.
Good. And that's okay. But that's the goal, is it's not just about, you know, getting angry at this mom or dad in your head, or even just soothing yourself, but really genuinely looking at yourself from a stance of unconditional love, through a lens of love and care and compassion. And when you have that stance, when you actually feel a sense of love for yourself, then all that other stuff follows, because you know, you're not going to treat someone terribly if you have a feeling of love toward them. Being able to see yourself, not your looks or your accomplishments, but just you, just Lane, through loving eyes, that you're just okay because you're you. And you may not have been given, you know, a big push in that direction, because growing up, it sounds like a lot of the love you received may have been conditional. Not that, you know, your parents had any malintent. It was probably just an offshoot of the way that they were raised. But you have the opportunity to work toward giving yourself that now, and even just starting by hearing that you can't make yourself vulnerable and telling yourself that's okay. You're doing the best you can, kiddo. How are you feeling right now? Are you still flat?
Yeah, kind of. I keep having these critical thoughts. Like, I thought I was going to come on here and I was just going to open up and you were just going to dig it out of me and I was just going to be all better, you know what I mean? And I was just going to be fabulous and I was going to help so many people. And
oh, God, look at these expectations and this pressure.
Right?
No wonder you're feeling so exhausted. I mean, talk about conditional love. It's like you're giving yourself the message, you're okay if you do it this way and you're spectacular and you're great and, you know, you help all these people and you get so much out of it, and you're not okay if you don't. That's not nice. I mean, that's not loving, you know? I mean, telling yourself, it's like if I told myself, Alan, if you come on this line and you dig all this stuff out of Lane, then you're okay, and if you don't, then you're not okay. I mean, that's conditional love.
Yeah.
You know, but letting yourself know you're okay, regardless of how it goes, just because you're you, that's when, you know, your body's at rest, when you actually feel peaceful, when you feel free. So when you hear these voices telling you, you know, you're only good enough if you do something great, you have the opportunity to hear that and say, fuck you, and stand up for yourself. And how dare you try to outsource my self-worth like that? I'm okay. And really work to give yourself that message that I'm okay just for being me. You know, and then give yourself some credit. Tell yourself you're proud of yourself. I'm proud of you for standing up for me. You know, look in the mirror. Look in your eyes. The eyes don't change. You have the same eyes that you did when you were a little kid. Actually see the humanity in your eyes and give yourself that message that I'm going to start taking care of you. I'm going to come from a stance of love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. I've been waiting 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh, those stinking Beatles, man.
But can you hear, just in the context of what you were doing to yourself, just in this call alone, how hard you were being on yourself?
Yeah, but I still don't see the wrongness of it. You know what I mean?
I know. It feels so familiar. But you're like,
yeah,
a pageant. You're like a pageant mom to yourself.
Ew.
You know, you look beautiful. You win first prize. You're good enough. If you don't, you're not. And I was like you. I had symptoms similarly, because I drove myself. I would put so much pressure on myself. I would, you know, I was only okay if I would, you know, I used to, before my days as a psychotherapist, I used to be like a comedy songwriter and performer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, my friend and I would go around to different colleges. They'd fly us out. We would sing. And I never, ever enjoyed it, because every single time there was like one song that could have gone better. There was one thing that could have been different. And you can spend your whole life living like that. You know, but it is exhausting. And it just comes to a point where, you know, you take a stance and you say, I could keep on doing that, and I know what that gets me. But if you keep on doing what you've always done, you're going to keep on getting what you've always got. And I think you're capable of having a lot more happiness and fulfillment than you do right now.
That's for sure.
And it's going to take time. It's going to take time. You know, it may just be words at first. But
yeah,
if you give yourself the message, I'm going to work toward taking care of you. I'm going to work toward having a loving, unconditional relationship with you, independent of what you do, then you're changing your stance. And you're eventually breaking that addiction. I teach at USC, and I used to really care about like what my professor evaluations were. And then I remember one time, a number of years ago, I got this email, and it was the professor evaluations for the semester. And there was this fear of, oh my God, what did I get? And then I heard this other voice, and I was just like, to hell with you. I'm not going to value these professor evaluations over the capacity to determine my own level of self-worth, right? It's like a battle where you're actually taking the power back. I'm going to determine how I feel. I'm going to determine how I feel. I'm not going to put it in the hands of this other thing. And when you do that and you take that stance, and it may not take right away, you know, but if you continually reinforce, I determine how I feel, I'm certainly not going to prioritize, you know, what this person thinks of me, what this employee thinks of me, what that student thinks of me, you know, what this boss thinks of me over me. You're really standing up for yourself, and you're taking a stand. It won't change immediately, but you're changing the lens through which you see yourself.
See, that makes me feel so super pumped. Like, I know that that's what needs to happen. It just sounds so weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just weird.
Yeah. Well, it's foreign as hell, because it's almost like you've been a heroin addict for 20 years, and I'm like, you know, put the heroin pipe down and do meditation. You know? Do you smoke heroin through a pipe? I don't even know. Needle, I guess. I gotta research my analogies better.
I get it.
Yeah. And so, you know, you do feel pumped, but you also feel scared.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you know, again, this is being recorded. I want you to listen to just these last 10 or 15 minutes, I think, since we talked about, you know, that vulnerability thing. And here, a lot of times it actually takes that active energy, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand up to this thing. And then you're going to hear this voice that says, oh, you're never going to be able to change. And that's an opportunity for you to say, you know, screw you. I'm not going to live in this state of fear or pressure anymore. and you're going to go to work tomorrow, and you're going to have like a dozen opportunities for external validation, right? Maybe there's like a guy you have a crush on, and you know, you're going to look to see if he's like looking over at you. And that's an opportunity right there. You know, screw you. I'm not going to value that over determining my own self-worth and really just get a feeling of like empowerment about it. I'm taking the power back. You are wrestling away this capacity to, you know, be the CEO in your mind. You determine how you feel. Not this person or that job or this medal or your mom or that grade or anything like that. And when you are really able to kind of like pump yourself up, like you said, you're like Rocky, you know, you can play Rocky music in the background. And eventually,
it totally popped in my head too.
Well, Rocky?
Yeah.
I was thinking Rocky IV against Drago in the cold tundra of Russia. Yeah, you do that over and over, and there's where the engine comes from. That's the motivation. That comes from that sense of empowerment. And then it's just a matter of repetition. And the great news is these things that are really sources of external validation are now just opportunities for you to take a stand.
Cool.
Do you feel like that's something that you can recognize and apply yourself toward?
Yeah, I do.
Good. I think you can too. And you have the advantage of having really horrible symptoms, because oftentimes bad symptoms are like the greatest motivator.
Seriously.
In my experience, like working with someone who like just has a little bit of anxiety doesn't have nearly as much motivation as someone that has like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome or, you know, crushing anxiety. So I think the motivation is there for you.
Cool.
All right. So I feel like for you, you know, implementing some of the stuff that I talked about in other areas of the call, but also really learning to stand up for yourself and break free from that addiction and, you know, gravitate toward that place of self-love, your symptoms are going to fall off because your body isn't going to have anything to rebel against anymore.
Dude, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, you know, I've worked with enough people to tell you, you know, this is what's going on with you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So are you happy with yourself in the call, even though you didn't break down and everything got better?
Could have gone better.
What's that?
I said it could have gone better.
No, I think it went great. I think that this was a really... I actually do think that what you talked about was a really, really valuable piece and component that I actually haven't addressed yet on none of these teleconferences. So I think it was actually more helpful than you know. But I think, is you know, the important thing is it was helpful to you.
Yeah, it really was.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Lane.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Incidentally, I think that was a really, really valuable call for us, where it's like, it doesn't always need to be where you break down crying or you get in touch with these emotions or you have this cathartic experience. A lot of times it's just recognizing a certain pattern and saying, to hell with this, I'm going to change it, and really just getting a lot of energy and being active and working toward it. You know, I think that movies like Good Will Hunting are always promoting the fact that like you need to have a cathartic experience in order to have any real movement. But a lot of times it's actually just seeing, this is what I'm doing, and it's going to take an active effort to break this habit, and I'm going to do it. So I thought that was really great, and you know, it's not anything that we had ever talked about.
Well, that's encouraging. It's encouraging because, I mean, if you don't have the cathartic thing and you recognize that there's something that you need to do, I mean, I thought the most interesting thing was when you were saying, but do you believe it? Because sometimes I feel like there are things which I know, but I don't necessarily believe them as strongly as I want to believe them. And it's encouraging to hear you say, well, if you stick at it, if you really put your mind to it, if you decide that that's important to you, you can have change anyway.
I read a book on Buddhism maybe 15 years ago, and it was like, oh, bugs are just as important as people. We're all life. And I was like, oh, that's really great. Like, I like that. Like, I'm not going to kill bugs anymore. And so for like 6 months, I didn't kill bugs, but I didn't really care. I didn't really value them. I was doing it because I wanted to value them. But after about 6 months, it was like the feeling actually followed the behavior, and I started caring. You know, so a lot of times, just like engaging in a specific intervention, it's kind of like a top-down approach, but it can work backward.
Okay. That's encouraging. That's good to know.